Okay, you ready? You can hear me okay? Great, we're on. Perfect. Awesome. Let's go. I'm Peter Little, lead pastor at Christ Pacific Church in Huntington Beach, California. We're cultivating a community of faith, hope, and love that follows Jesus into the world. And you're listening to our Sunday Sermons podcast. To learn more about us or to subscribe to this podcast, visit us at cpchb.org. Thanks for listening.
Right. Amazing. Okay. Friends, I also get to read God's word to you today and then share a little bit about what I believe God might be saying to us through God's word. So I'm going to invite you to open your Bibles if you have one. John chapter 1, verses 29 through 34. Or you can just listen along if you prefer. Or I think the scripture will also be on this screen. So this is John chapter 1, starting in verse 29. And this is John the Baptizer speaking. And so we're picking up the story where John the Baptizer has been out telling people to get ready because Jesus is coming. And so we pick up the story there. Verse 29 in John chapter 1. The next day, John the Baptizer saw Jesus coming towards him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." This is God's word for us today. Friends, we've been asking this question: where do you see the Holy Spirit at work? Not do you see the Holy Spirit at work, or is the Holy Spirit at work? Because the Holy Spirit is at work. He's doing stuff in your life. He's doing stuff in the world. And so the question is not, is he active? The question is, do you see what he is doing, the Holy Spirit? Do you see what he is up to? And my hope and my prayer today, oh Lord, is that you would open our eyes and our ears, that we would have the eyes of faith and the ears of faith, that we might see the Holy Spirit at work in our lives and at work in the lives of the people around us, and that we would hear the voice of the Spirit whispering in our ear, or maybe screaming sometimes, but that we would hear and that we would see the Holy Spirit at work. And if you've been with us for a couple of weeks, then you know we're talking specifically about the Holy Spirit. And a couple of weeks ago, we considered the Holy Spirit as a wind and a fire. That the Holy Spirit is like a fire that burns so hot it purifies us, like a refiner's fire. And we consider the Holy Spirit as a wind that comes and blows in and through our lives and powers us for mission in the same way that wind powers a sailboat, pushes a sailboat forward. So the Holy Spirit is like a wind and a fire. Then last week we considered the Holy Spirit as a real and present danger. No, not danger. Real and present presence. That the Holy Spirit is real and present. That he is, just like Jesus, with us. And it gets better in us. That the Holy Spirit is in us, and you can't get closer than in. That is good news. And this week, today, we're going to consider the Holy Spirit with whom Jesus dunks and drenches us. So we are dunked in the Holy Spirit. We are drenched with the Holy Spirit. We are immersed in and overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit. Dunked and drenched. And John the Baptist tells us all about it here in this scripture that I have just read. So that's where we're heading today. We're going to get dunked and we're going to get drenched. So let's pray, so that we'll be prepared for that to happen. Gracious and living God, thank you for your presence again here with us. And as I speak, I pray, God, that you would help us to hear your voice. It's your voice we need to hear. And so the stuff I say that resonates with your voice, man, would that stuff stick? And the stuff I say that doesn't resonate with your voice, would that stuff not stick? Open our eyes, open our ears to see you and to hear you, Holy Spirit. For we pray it confidently because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You might remember last week, I said that the Holy Spirit is entirely Christ-centered. That the Holy Spirit is not Spirit-centered, but Christ-centered. And this guy named John Chrysostom, he wrote this even more succinctly, more strongly in the fourth century. He said this. He said, "The descent of the Holy Spirit took place only for the purpose of making Christ known." That is why the Holy Spirit came, to make Jesus Christ known. All that the Holy Spirit does, all the benefits of the Holy Spirit, all the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, everything that he does is all aimed at one goal, to make Jesus Christ known. And it turns out that that ministry, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, to make Jesus known, is the same ministry as John the Baptizer's ministry. Right, John the Baptizer was a prophet, and he came, he was given this ministry to make Jesus known. And so the very first thing that John the Baptist says in our reading today is, "Look." I can imagine John pointing at Jesus. He sees Jesus in the distance coming, and John the Baptizer says, "Look." It's that word "look" is a little obscured in the English translation that I read today. Maybe your translation says "behold," or maybe it says "look," because that's what's in the original Greek. His very first word, John the Baptist, it's like a command. "Look, look, look at him." This was John the Baptizer's ministry. He pointed people to Jesus. I call it a look ministry. And it's the same ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit says to us, "Look at him, look at Jesus." It's the same ministry that the Samaritan woman whom Jesus met and had a gracious conversation with at the well was in. She was involved in a look ministry. You might remember, it's in recorded in John chapter 4. Jesus has a really gracious conversation with this woman, and she goes back to her home village, and what does she say to her neighbors? She says, "Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Come and see. Come and look. Look at him. Come and see for yourselves. Don't take my word for it. Don't believe me. Come and see." She was in the look ministry, just like John the Baptist. He's in the look ministry, just like the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in the look ministry. And we've sang this song here a couple of times. It's by Maverick City Worship. And the chorus just over and over just goes, "Look at him." I've been singing it all week. Look at him. Look at him. Would you just look at him, Jesus, the Lord? The Holy Spirit leads us to just look at him, worship him, love him, follow him. So John the Baptist, just like the Holy Spirit, says, "Look, there he is, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and the one who baptizes us in and with the Holy Spirit. Look at him, there he is, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world and the one who baptizes us in and with the Holy Spirit." It's Jesus' twofold ministry. He takes away the sin of the world and he baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. Now imagine if Jesus had a singularity focus of his ministry, his mission, and it was only to take away the sin of the world. That would still be amazing. That would still be why we would be gathered here, to give thanks and to worship Jesus Christ, because he's the one who takes away the sin of the world. Dean has just led us in a prayer of confession in which we confess our sin and confess the ways in which we've leaned on our own understanding and not on the wisdom and counsel of Jesus Christ. And Jesus, again, takes our sin away, takes the guilt away. This is amazing. But it gets better because Jesus not only takes something away from us, something that we don't want or don't need, but he also gives us something. He baptizes us in and with the Holy Spirit. He baptizes us in and with the Holy Spirit. But what does that mean? You know, I mean, really, what does it mean to be baptized in and with the Holy Spirit? Well, that Greek, the word baptism comes from this Greek word baptizo. It kind of sounds like it has a D-Z-O. It's like baptizo. In fact, this is fun. Say this with me, would you? Baptizo. Baptizo. Awesome. See, now you know at least one Greek word. Baptizo. This word baptizo simply means to immerse in or overwhelm with. It wasn't a religious word when it started to get used. It just meant to immerse something or to overwhelm something or to be overwhelmed by something. So, for example, this is so great. This guy was a Greek physician. He was also a professional pickler. His name was Nicander. He wrote about 200 years before Jesus came along, and he was a Greek guy, so he wrote in Greek, and he was sharing his world-famous pickle recipe, and this is what he said. This is very important. He said that he had to baptize his vegetables in the vinegar solution. Right? You got to entirely immerse the vegetables in the vinegar solution. He used that word baptizo. His vegetables are overwhelmed with and immersed in the vinegar. They are baptized in the vinegar. Now this guy, Nicander, he baptized his cucumbers with vinegar, but Jesus Christ comes along and he baptizes his followers with the Holy Spirit. He immerses you, submerges you, overwhelms you with the person and presence of the Holy Spirit, dunks, not sprinkles, drenches, not dampens. Now, we're not talking about water baptism very much per se this morning, so I'm not going to have a whole lot to say about the mode in which we baptize people. I don't personally think that's particularly important, but I've done lots of sprinkle baptisms. And I do have to tell you, as a pastor, there is a sense in which when I'm doing this, I realize that this symbol of sprinkle is so underwhelming when it comes to what the Holy Spirit is actually going to do to you. Like, you are going to die and rise again. You are going to be dunked and drenched with the Holy Spirit. Your whole life is going to change. This is fun. Remember this guy Nicander who was baptizing his cucumbers? You put the cucumbers in the vinegar solution and they will never be the same again. Right? They turn into pickles. Jesus baptizes you in and with the Holy Spirit. You will never be the same again because you've been dunked and drenched in the Holy Spirit. Okay, I want to ask two questions this morning. The first is less important. The second is more important, I think. The first is, when does this happen? When does Jesus baptize in and with the Holy Spirit? That's the first question. The second question is, then what happens? So when does it happen? And then what happens after that? What happens after you get baptized in and with the Holy Spirit? So first of all, when? There's kind of three primary views on this question of when. Here's just a quick sort of survey to help us answer this question. When does this happen? Three options. The first option we might call the sacramental option. And in the sacramental option, Jesus baptizes you in and with the Holy Spirit at the same time that you get baptized in and with water. So this is a very high view of the sacrament of water baptism, that something really big is happening in this event. And the really big thing that's happening is not you actually getting dunked in water or sprinkled with water. The really big thing that's happening is you being dunked and drenched in and with the Holy Spirit. Same time. That's the sacramental option. The second option is what we might call the evangelical option. In this evangelical option, you are baptized with and in the Holy Spirit when you place your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. which usually takes place before you get water baptized, right? The moment that you say, yes, Jesus, I love you even a little and I long to love you more. Yes, Jesus, I believe to the best of my ability that you are my only hope, Obi-Wan Kenobi, that you are the source of my life. At that moment, Jesus baptizes us in and with the Holy Spirit. And then later, you get baptized with water as a symbol to reinforce what has already happened. That's the second option. The third option is what we might call a Pentecostal option. So in this Pentecostal option, Jesus baptizes you in and with the Holy Spirit sometime afterwards. So you've put your faith in Jesus. You're like, Jesus is the real deal. I love him. I want to follow him. And then you get baptized with water. And then at some point later, you are baptized by Jesus in and with the Holy Spirit. This is called the Pentecostal option. But here's the deal, friends. All of these options are wrong and right. All of these options are both wrong and right. And I want to look at verse 33 because I think our answer is right there. In verse 33, John the Baptist, he says this about Jesus. He says, this is John the Baptist. He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. The one who baptizes. It's a present participle form of the verb. Present participle. In the Greek language, that means that that verb is denotes continuous activity. Continuous, ongoing activity. Jesus baptizes, continuous and ongoing action. In other words, Jesus keeps on baptizing you in and with the Holy Spirit. Jesus keeps on dunking and drenching you in and with the Holy Spirit. So Jesus baptizes you in and with the Holy Spirit the moment that you say yes to him, when you put your faith in him. And so the evangelical option is right because Jesus does baptize when we put our faith in him. He baptizes us with the Holy Spirit, but that evangelical option is also wrong because it's not the last or the only time that Jesus will baptize us in and with the Holy Spirit. Then we get baptized with water. This glorious experience where with the community of faith, we proclaim our faith in Jesus. And as we're dunked and drenched or sprinkled or whatever, I was sprinkled and it worked. So I'm like whatever. Dunked and drenched in water or sprinkled or whatever, in that moment, something significant happens. Jesus is baptizing us in and with the Holy Spirit. So the sacramental option is right. It's not just water happening there. There's something more happening, but the sacramental option is wrong because that's not the first or the last or the only time that Jesus baptizes us in and with the Holy Spirit. Do you see where I'm going here? There's a third option. We called it the Pentecostal option. The Pentecostal option is also right because there are times after we say yes to Jesus, after we've been baptized with water, there are times in which Jesus baptizes us in and with the Holy Spirit after. So the Pentecostal option is right, but it's wrong because it's not the first or the last time that Jesus baptizes us in and with the Holy Spirit. Jesus baptizes us. Ongoing, continual action. That he will dunk and drench us in the person of the Holy Spirit over and over again. Do it again, Jesus. Do it again, Jesus. Do it again, Jesus. Overwhelm us, dunk us, drench us in your presence. You know, we see this in the early church. So if you're still kind of wondering, I don't know, we look at the early church in Acts chapter 2 at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is given. The Holy Spirit fills the believers who are gathered together. They start speaking in other languages and telling others about the mighty deeds of God himself. The Holy Spirit filled and empowered them. But then later in Acts chapter 4, the same community of believers, they're praying for boldness. And what happens? The place where they were gathered begins to shake, and the Holy Spirit again is poured out and fills them again. And again, they speak of God's mighty deeds with boldness. He did it again, and he'll do it again. He'll do it again. He'll do it again. Dunk us, Jesus. Drench us, Jesus. We need the Holy Spirit to be present in and around us again and still? Okay, so that's not actually the important question, I don't think. The real important question is, then what? What happens next? This is the heart of the matter. What happened after Jesus was baptized in and with the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit comes like a dove, and it remains on Jesus and fills Jesus. And where did the Holy Spirit send Jesus? We don't read about it in John's gospel, but in the other three gospels, all three of them, right after the Holy Spirit comes and fills Jesus, the Spirit leads Jesus into the wilderness. Leads Jesus into the wilderness. Do you think that maybe the Holy Spirit might also lead us, lead you into the wilderness? You're like, hey, Peter, I came here today to get good news, not bad news. That doesn't sound like good news. I don't want to be sent out into the wilderness. Oh, when you think of the wilderness, what do you think of? I mean, it's barren. It can be lonely. It's uncomfortable. That was Jesus' experience. He didn't have anything to eat for 40 days. He was all alone. But I wonder if the Holy Spirit might also invite you into a kind of wilderness season or a wilderness experience. Why would he do that? He did it to Jesus. Why would he do that to us? Well, the wilderness is uncomfortable. And isn't it when we're a little uncomfortable that we grow the most? That we're most attentive to God and what he's up to in the world? Earlier, Dean led us to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, where we are invited not to lean on our own understanding, but to trust in the Lord. And in a wilderness experience, we might find ourselves a little bit off kilter. We're a little bit off balance. Things aren't right. We're uncomfortable. And this is the moment, I think, especially when we are attentive to God. When we can see, I've been leaning on my own understanding, and it's not working very well. I'm about to fall. Maybe I should lean on the Lord. Maybe the Lord will hold me. Maybe the Lord will help me. I wonder if the Holy Spirit has invited you, as you look back on your life, into a wilderness kind of season or a wilderness kind of experience. I don't know if it was the Spirit of God who led you into those wilderness places. You need to have a conversation with God about that. But I am raising the question, do you think maybe that God would use these experiences on purpose to shape you, to mold you, to grow you, to prove and improve your faith? It's what happened with Jesus. As he went into the wilderness, led by the Holy Spirit, and he had the opportunity to lean on God's word and to lean on the faithfulness of his Father. After the Holy Spirit descended and remained on Jesus, not only was he led into the wilderness, but he was led into a life of sacrificial service for the sake of others. The Holy Spirit led Jesus to live a life of sacrifice out of love for others. Have you ever sensed the Holy Spirit inviting you to make an intentional sacrificial decision in order to bless others, for the sake of others? Has the Holy Spirit been inviting you, or is the Holy Spirit inviting you now to make an intentional sacrificial decision out of love for someone else? The Harvard-educated Dr. Robert Mulholland writes this about spiritual formation. And if you've hung out with Dean very much, then you've probably heard about Robert Mulholland. He loves Mulholland, as do I, but great guy. He wrote this. He's with Jesus now. Not Dean. He's over here. Robert Mulholland. Robert Mulholland is with Jesus now. He wrote this. He said, spiritual formation is the process of being formed into the image of Christ for the sake of others. Spiritual formation is the process of being formed into the image of Christ for the sake of others. Spiritual formation. The formation process that the Spirit does in shaping us to become more like Christ. Why? So that we can live our most comfortable and best life ever and always get everything we ever wanted or dreamed of. No. So that we can be empowered to make intentional choices to live sacrificially out of love for other people. If you've been around here for a while, then you've probably heard me quote my favorite verse in the Bible. It's from Philippians 2. It's my favorite verse because it's clearly the best verse in the Bible. No questions asked about that. So Philippians 2, talking about Jesus Christ, who is empowered by the Spirit of the living God to live a life of sacrifice for the sake of others. Philippians 2, friends, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, he did not consider equality with God as something to be grasped onto and exploited for his own benefit. But he emptied himself, taking on the form of a slave, becoming in human likeness. He emptied himself and gave himself, humbled himself, and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. A life dunked and drenched in the Holy Spirit is a life lived for the sake of others. Okay, number three. The Holy Spirit, let's see, number one was the Holy Spirit may just lead us into a wilderness season in order to form us. Number two, the Holy Spirit will form us to be people who live sacrificially for the sake of others. Number three, the Holy Spirit forms us to become peacemakers. Have you ever wondered why the Holy Spirit is depicted here like a dove? I mean, why didn't the Holy Spirit descend on Jesus like a lion? That would have been cool. Or like an eagle? That would have been powerful. But why does the Holy Spirit descend like a dove? Well, a dove is a symbol of hope and a symbol of peace. And I think that we are to pay attention to this symbol here, that the Holy Spirit descended like a dove. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is at work in us when we are dunked and drenched in Him to make us into peacemakers, not peacekeepers. Peacemakers. Peacemakers. And we have so many opportunities today to be peacemakers, right? Our world is in need of peacemakers. I got to tell you, it really does trouble me sometimes when I see my brothers and sisters in Christ who sometimes seem to be the angriest, most obnoxious, and most divisive people in the room. For we who have been dunked and drenched in the Holy Spirit, this should not be so, friends. We are to be people who hold deep convictions and who hold those convictions close to our hearts and who communicate those convictions which we believe and hold on to so strongly. But as people who've been dunked and drenched by the Spirit of peace who comes to us like a dove, are we not to communicate those strongly held convictions in ways that make peace, in ways that bring people together rather than push people apart? I think the Holy Spirit makes us become peacemakers. That's one of the things that happens when we get dunked and drenched. Okay, we're drawing to a close. We're getting close. How are you guys doing? You okay? Still awake? Good? Okay. Great, because we're going to talk about prophecy. Are you nervous? I am. Super nervous. We're going to talk about prophecy. I want to look at Acts chapter 2, because in Acts chapter 2, this is where I'm getting my cue here, that the Holy Spirit would lead us to become people who dream dreams, see visions, and who prophesy. So I'm going to read for you Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 15. This is the Apostle Peter. So the Holy Spirit has come, it's filled all the believers. They're talking in all of these foreign languages, talking about God's mighty deeds. And people who are watching are like, wow, these people are clearly drunk. Look at what's happening. This is like a wild and crazy party where people are making all sorts of weird noises. These people are clearly drunk. Peter, the apostle, stands up, and this is what he says. He says, "Indeed, these people are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. Quote, in the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. You shall prophesy, dream dreams, see visions, and prophesy." I said prophesy twice because Peter said prophesy two times. He says, you will prophesy, you will dream dreams, you will see visions, and you will prophesy. I think the emphasis is on prophecy. Now, if you weren't nervous, because we're going to talk about prophecy, this is when I get nervous. Because this is way outside of my comfort zone. Let me help you with this word prophesy. You've probably heard Dean say this. This is very helpful when he taught me this. Prophesy here, and so often in the biblical texts, to prophesy is less so about foretelling future events and more so about forthtelling God's truth. Right? So prophesy is less about foretelling events or predicting the future, if you will. And it's more about telling forth, speaking forth God's truth. And what is God's truth? Actually, it's a who, not a what. God's truth is Jesus, God's own Son. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the truth. So to prophesy is to speak forth God's truth, which is Jesus. To prophesy is to tell others about the person of Jesus, who is God's truth. This is what the Holy Spirit, when He dunks and drenches us, leads us to do. That not only do we become peacemakers, not only do we sometimes get led into the wilderness that we might be shaped and formed for His service, not only are we led to become people who live sacrificially for the sake of others, but we become people who are empowered to prophesy. You are prophets, every one of you who've been dunked and drenched with the Holy Spirit, because you've been given the gift of telling forth God's truth. And God's truth is a person, and His name is Jesus. When we are dunked and drenched in the Holy Spirit, we are empowered to tell others about Jesus, which brings us full circle all the way back to where we began with John the Baptist. What did John the Baptist do? He said to people, look at Him. Look at Jesus. Look at Him. Eyes on Jesus. John the Baptist told people about Jesus. He pointed people to Jesus. And when we are dunked and drenched in the Holy Spirit, we too become people who tell others about what Jesus has done in our lives, what Jesus is up to in our lives. Friends, as you go from this place, we're not leaving just quite yet, but when you do, may you go as people who've been dunked and drenched in the person of the Holy Spirit. And may your eyes be open and your ears be open to see and to hear the work of the Spirit in your life, equipping you, empowering you, emboldening you to be engaged in this look ministry, along with the Samaritan woman, along with John the Baptist, and along with the Holy Spirit Himself. May it be so.
Thanks for joining our Christ Pacific Sunday Sermon Podcast. To hear more of our sermons, or to subscribe, or to learn how you can be engaged with what we're up to in Huntington Beach, please visit us at cpc.org.